B-Pod Studios.
We cheer when they win.
Got it.
We lose it when they don't.
Come into Foxborough and defeat it in the past.
And we do it together.
I just definitely appreciate all you guys have done.
We're Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Everybody sit down, shut up. It's Friday. Substitute teacher is in. Let's get through this together, and we can all get to the weekend. Adam Jones, Joe Murray, in for Fred and Rich. We got Mike Lockhart on Hub Headlines this morning. We are live inside your Town Fair Tire Studios on a Friday morning. I got to be honest, I don't know. I say this every time I'm in here. I don't know how you guys do this for more than like a day. Like, I'm okay with coming in for, like, a day. I'm like, okay, that doesn't really change anything that I do all that much. I pretty much go to bed at the same time. Like, I'll take a nap or something like that. But, like, already, by day two, I'm, like, feeling it already.
Yeah.
And we do, we were all talking about this a little bit. I didn't watch a ton of the Red Sox game, admittedly. Apologies in advance.
How dare you.
To Tom Curran. I was going to say, or Tom Curran, rather. Apologies in advance, but I didn't watch much of the Red Sox game last night. It was Big Brother night in the Jones household.
Oh God, that's a show that's still on.
I watched Big Brother years ago. Years ago, I watched it when I was in like college, maybe even into high school. I watched it, and I never stuck with it. And I like reality TV. I like crappy reality TV, especially like MTV.
Oh yeah,
crappy reality TV. So you know, your Jersey Shore,
Teen Mom. The best.
I mean, I'll watch some Teen Mom. I'm not out on Teen Mom.
That's the best train wreck TV on, as far as I'm concerned. Mom. Yeah.
Two?
One and two.
OG?
Oh, yeah. Both of them.
16 and pregnant?
I mean,
I watch them all.
I like crappy reality TV. It takes me like a week to get into it, like an episode. And so it's Big Brother night in the Jones household. And like already I woke up this morning and my wife made pulled pork. For Big Brother night. It's a big night in the Jones household, you know. So you know, get ready. We got a couple episodes to catch up on. Pulled pork night. Great. I woke up this morning, and you know, the first thing I did, I was like.
You were like, oh, F?
Yeah, no, I was like, I think I'm going to have some pulled pork.
No, for breakfast.
Yeah. It's 5 in the morning. Sure. I'm gonna make some eggs. I'm gonna have some pulled pork. What else am I doing? So already, I'm 2 days in. I'm tired. Not to complain to you guys. You guys only do it for years and years.
It's only been 11 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Joe, you've been doing it for months and months. And, you know, so like not to complain to you guys or anybody else who does this schedule normally driving around out there. But like already day two, I'm cracking. Like I'm already like dragging a little bit. I'm already eating dinner for breakfast. Like if I did this shift, I would weigh 100. I would put on 100 pounds.
Yeah.
I would put on 100 pounds if I worked this shift.
And I'll tell you what, when you wake up from a nap, you're starving and you're ravenous and you just want to eat terrible things and you grab the first awful thing you see.
Yeah.
And the highs and the lows, Jones. It's by the time December rolls around and we all go on vacation, we all want to quit. We all hate each other, and we all are like pretty much suicidal at that point.
Yeah, well,
so it's like,
well,
and then we come back in January refreshed.
And you're like, okay, a little break.
Yeah.
A little break. Hey. But yeah, I work one day. I already eat terrible.
Well, the night show's not grand either, though. I mean, whenever I work nights, I come home. I can't sleep right away.
Well,
my brain doesn't shut off. I'm food. I'm up watching that's really bad stuff now. Once you get home at midnight, like that stuff right out, unless you DVR some good stuff.
I DVR good stuff. But I don't DVR good stuff. I mean, I just told you what I watch. I'll catch up on my crappy reality. But no, I don't DVR good stuff. But yeah, I catch up on the DVR. I clean out the DVR when I get home. That's really my only approach. But nights are much easier. Nights are not that different than like everybody else's schedule.
Yeah, it's weird waking up in the morning. It's just not natural.
No. And then you nap. Like, I napped yesterday. Although, of course, I napped. My kid napped. My kid's two. My kid naps.
Yeah.
And then I wake up from that. My wife was like, my wife thought she was on vacation. You talk about going on like, she's like, okay, kid's yours. I'm like, okay, great. I mean, I guess, fine. So she's like, she goes over to the neighbors. They're cracking a bottle of wine. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll deal with the kid. Yeah. I'll start doing that for the rest of the
day. Yeah, I still haven't figured this out yet. My normal routine is to go home, sleep at noon until 4.
Wow.
And then have the rest of the night.
That's a nap right there.
Yeah.
4 hours.
I get 4 hours then, and then 4 hours before when I actually sleep.
Yep.
So I somehow find 8 hours to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I see. So you make it up there.
4 and 4.
I think I took like an hour nap. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I can only do like 2 max or my whole day gets screwed up. Plus, I have kids, so I have to be up at certain times. They're at camp right now. I got to get them from school. I got to run them around to activities.
They really ruin things. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
there was one point years ago. And I was still kind of getting used to the schedule that I had a 2-year-old at one point and a newborn, and they were napping at different schedules. So I would get home. One would be going down to sleep. The other would be waking up, and then they would switch. And I literally for like 9 months lost my mind.
Yeah. You're like, this is the worst.
Yeah. I was like seeing things out of the corner of my eyes.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you.
For like $8 an hour too at that point.
That's good. That's good radio money right there is what that is. That's not bad radio money. Yeah, well, of course, no benefits. I mean, that
Mike had no benefits either.
So no vacation time.
Nothing. Yeah. Why would you want that?
No. Yeah.
So Joe, are you speaking of vacation? Are you doing a little little?
I'm out of here. Staycation-ish.
Right, not stay at home, but stay in the state.
The second we hear "ass man" today,
Joe is running out.
I am out. Yeah, I'm Cape Bound.
I don't know how you're going to do that. You have a headline at 10.
Actually, I don't have a headline today because Mike Lockhart is doing the headlines today.
Shame on me.
So this is kind of like I'm in pilot mode. You're just going to give off takes, and I'm like, uh-huh, yeah. I might get animated every once in a while, you know?
We'll poke you with a stick at some point.
That's basically how the night show goes. I just fire off a bunch of takes. I let Arcan speak for like 30 seconds, and then I keep going. So you're going down the Cape, though.
I am Cape bound this weekend.
You got some beach attire on yesterday.
I actually went to the beach yesterday as well. Hey, listen, I don't look like I got a beach body, but I'm a beach guy.
I like it. Are you wearing a bathing? You wore a bathing suit yesterday.
I got a bathing suit on right now.
Are you wearing one right now?
Right now.
Yeah.
I got the bathing suit on. I got a Hawaiian fat guy shirt on. And
I like the shirt.
Check it out on Twitch, everybody.
On Twitch TV. And then, probably takes 2 hours to get there. And I'll be on the beach in no time, baby.
So I've gone nowhere. I don't know about you. Oh, Lockhart, you went somewhere like right at the beginning, right?
I went to Mexico like the day everything shut down. So we dropped my wife.
Everyone's quarantined. Yeah. You are having fun.
Like, so my wife dropped the kids off.
You're like Kelly Ripa.
And then we went to Mexico. And by the time we got to Mexico, school and everything was canceled.
Back here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everything was great there. But like we came home and I got a phone call right off the plane. Hey, don't come to work for 2 weeks because, you got to quarantine. So
yeah, don't do that.
I had 3 weeks off, which like literally changed my life. Like we were talking about the schedule, changed my life for like months.
I had a vacation planned in like March in the Caribbean and we bagged it. So should we have done it? Is that what you're telling me? It sounds like I should have done it.
It depends on where you went because a lot of places shut down. Like Aruba and all these places shut down like days before I left. Mexico just happened to be like the one place that hadn't shut down yet. Nice. So we were lucky.
So my in-laws, they recently moved to Charlotte from the West Coast. And they are putting the full court press on my wife and I to come down for Christmas. And they're like, come on down. We'll buy flights, which are like dirt cheap right now. I'm like, okay, well, that's enticing. They're like, take a night out, go somewhere, go into Charlotte, go do something. We'll watch the kid overnight. I'm like, that sounds great. And I'm not sure I'm fully ready to do like a trip like that. I don't know if I'm ready to.
Well, you have to stay home for 2 weeks. Well, I guess you could do your show from home though.
Yeah, I'm not worried about any of that. I could the quarantine thing when we get back. I'm less worried about that.
Well, if you fly out of Providence, you're good to go. There's nobody on those flights.
Out of Providence?
Yeah, it's the best. You literally like walk up an hour before your flight, go through security in 10 seconds, then you get on the flight and leave.
Yeah, we haven't committed to this yet, but my in-laws are really putting a full court press on. And my wife is like, you know, a night out. And I'm just listening to you with having two kids and 3 kids. I'm like, don't get any ideas there, Kat.
Yeah, my kids are 12 and 10 at this point.
Our hands are full with the one. So but I mean like the alternating nap schedule. Like that sounds like a nightmare. My kids too.
Nightmare.
We're like just getting out of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to start over again.
Ugh.
I see your angle, Kat. We're not. No, I don't even want the night out. Thank you very much.
How does the afternoon sports affect the? There's games now at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock. The Bruins have been having some matinees. So having the kid, do they sleep during the games, or are you hanging out with the kid watching the games? Are you telling him are you yelling oh, he should have had that goal? Bergeron goal is lucky.
Exactly. I tell him things like that. Like, Bergeron doesn't know what he's doing. He just hucked it at the front of the net. My kid's like, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's how it works. And then we throw on an episode of Bubble Guppies, and he's happy, and then we're good. That's my day. And then I come into work and I yell at him.
But if you ever watch sports, can we not watch this? Can we change the channel? I want to watch what
him?
I want to watch. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Joey doesn't have that much of an opinion.
Sometimes. I'm like, go drive trucks. I'm like, get out of here. Go drive trucks. No, I mean, most of the time, the Bruins had, what was it, the 4 o'clock game the other day? That was a little annoying. But I was just like, Kat, leave the house. Like take him somewhere.
There's
a game. Get out of here.
That's my NFL Sundays. All right, everybody go.
Out.
Yeah, NFL Sundays last year were a little tough for me, but I feel like this year that we can maybe get something going. That's why I want nothing to do with NFL on Saturdays.
Right.
Like nothing to do with the NFL moving to Saturdays. Yeah, I would
take the Thursday night game on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I could handle that.
I would handle that.
I can handle that.
The thing with college football is you get noon is kind of the appetizer.
Yeah.
Right, there might be a good 3:30 game.
Oh, I love college football, but if I miss a college football game, that's not the end of my world.
But if it's at 3:30, you still can catch it at around 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know, the end of it or
whatever.
That's
true. But if the
NFL... the big games are at 8 o'clock. The big game.
If we're getting three NFL games on a Saturday, that's your whole weekend sucks.
Yeah.
We're watching a lot of football, but that's the... I don't want to deal with that. Just give me one day. You don't need the whole week, NFL. I don't need the whole week of watching you. You know?
Yep.
That's more difficult than the sports schedule. Now, do I need to watch Heat and Pacers?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got money, action on the under,
the
Joe
under.
Murray, then fine. Although I could have sworn, this annoys me, I could have sworn you told everybody to take the over in the bubble.
I gave out on the players card the under in the Rockets game, for those who listen, presented by DraftKings. We were talking about how in the bubbles, there are certain guys that score better and play better.
Yeah.
But this was game two. There's tape on these guys now. Things settled down.
So now we're taking the under?
It depends on who the ref is, really.
Okay, well, that's...
Tony Brothers last night with the Lakers.
You saw Tony Brothers on the Lakers.
And I was Lakers.
I'm on.
I see Tony Brothers.
Okay.
Lakers down 1-0. Lakers.
Okay. Well, I don't need to watch Heat Pacers unless I got some money on the under there. 617-779-0985. That's your phone number to get in touch. Again, substitute teacher. Let's all just get to the weekend together. Okay? Let's pop in a movie. Let's all just get to the weekend together. That's what we're gonna do. We'll get to your feedback and we'll get to what happened last night. There was some Red Sox baseball. I know everyone was hanging on every pitch. There are some interesting snap counts, splits between Cam Newton and Jared Stidham, and an NBA lottery that impacted the Celtics. We'll get to all of it in what happened last night next.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Dutcher and Rich.
All right, well, if you're like most normal people, you probably missed the Red Sox last night, so we can get to them coming up about 15 minutes from now. We'll also get to the Patriots splitting up snaps at training camp in interesting ways. Cam Newton got the bulk of them. We'll get to that later on this hour. What's the word now, Joe? Stidham's hurt? Is that the word?
I've seen uninformed, or excuse me, what's the word? Non-blue check marks who haven't been at Patriots training camp, credentialed people.
Mm-hmm.
But based off the reps, does it seem like maybe there could be an issue with Stidham?
Yeah, maybe a bruised ego. Maybe that's what's going
maybe
on.
A groin injury. I don't know. I'm just throwing something out there.
Well, so we'll get to the quarterback reps and the Red Sox coming up. But the NBA draft lottery happened last night, and didn't you say that yesterday? Shocked?
No one. We didn't
it shocked
know.
Rich and me. Was that you who said it? Was it somebody else who said it?
Well, the reason why I knew is because you could bet on who's going to get the number one pick.
I did not. That was normally I'm kind of into this stuff, but it's a weird year, and I don't know. I kind of lost lost track of where the lottery was. So the Celtics had the worst odds in the lottery, and they end up getting the 14th pick. It's really the only reason you need to watch. The reason you would have rooted for the pick to move up, and it could have moved into the top four. There's like a 2% chance it could have moved into the top four. The reason you would have rooted for that is because Memphis would take over the pick this year, and then it would turn into an unprotected pick next year. You'd hope that, you know, in a short year, Jaren Jackson doesn't have a lot of time to get back and healthy, and maybe Memphis is worse next year. They take a step back, kind of like the Kings did from a couple of years ago when the Celtics had that pick, and maybe you move up a little bit in the draft. That's the only reason why you were rooting for that. The Celtics wouldn't have had a top four pick coming out of the draft. But now the Celtics have, I think it's 14, 26, and 30.
Yay.
What do they do with that? Like, what? Like, honestly, what do you even do with 14, 26, and 30 on a roster where Danny Ainge decided that he couldn't make any trades again at the trade deadline? Like, he made a decision that, no, we have to develop Langford, and we have to develop Carson Edwards, and we have to develop, of course, Taco, and we have to develop Vincent Poirier and all these other guys. These guys that they're already keeping at the bottom of the roster that they supposedly like, that they can't move. What are you going to do with three more of those guys? It's going to be a draft again, Joe, like the year they took Yabusele and Zizic, where they're drafting guys to stash them just because they don't have any room on the roster, which to me, that's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, now I think we've noticed that these picks mean nothing anyways. Like, they've tried to trade, what, four for a Justice Winslow or what was the big man's, a Kaminsky? Remember Frank Kaminsky? They tried to
no, I think Kaminsky was the pick. I think Jordan refused to trade Kaminsky. I think that's what it was.
No, that really worked out for Jordan, too. But I don't know. I mean, at 14, could there be somebody, I don't know, Cole Anthony, somebody like that? I don't know. But that would be, like, the only thing that intrigues me. Besides that, the team doesn't need any more draft picks. I'm, like, out on, like, more Celtics draft picks. They don't need them.
Well, I'm out on those picks. I mean, I like picks, but Jalen and Tatum were great picks, though. But yeah, those are high picks.
Yeah, high picks.
I don't need another 14, 26, and 30.
Yeah, you're throwing bleep at the wall at that point and just hoping for something to hit. But those two guys you mentioned, Yabusele and Zizic, didn't they turn them into Kyrie Irving? So that that worked out.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, those guys were part.
Well,
that's a good. Well,
yeah,
that's
actually
a good point.
It kind of set the franchise back a year. But
no, you're right. It worked out.
Right.
But the rest of it didn't.
The theory of it worked out.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving just didn't work out.
But I mean, I don't know. There's still, like, they got Romeo Langford this year, a guy that probably going to have to make an impact or at least help out this year. The reason why I mentioned Cole Anthony, that's a young kid with potential, the blood, all that stuff. Like, maybe that's a guy that you let him stick around for a bit. Everybody else, draft and stash. Yeah. Like, we don't need another year of Carson Edwards. We don't need Robert Williams has been
Well, if they don't want any of those guys, then they should have traded them all at the trade deadline. They knew they had three first round picks coming up.
One.
They should have gotten rid of the roster fodder then.
I tried to ask Ainge all this week, guys. And the big thing was they loved the team chemistry. They didn't want to bring somebody in. You know, instead
yeah, like
of,
a good player.
Like,
yeah,
dude, I watched.
I understand that. Look what happened last year.
I mean, there's something to be said for chemistry. Don't get me wrong, because last year it did destroy the team. Look at Philly right now. So yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for it. But like, is that a reason not to make a trade?
Well, my whole thing is this: like, I watch around the league, right? Like, I'm just using names. Jeff Green for an example.
Yeah,
dude on the scrap heap makes an impact. Jeff Green couldn't help this team. Like, I look at all these guys that are out there just playing for different teams, and I'm like, wow, like, Andre Iguodala is a guy they probably could have traded for if they wanted to. They probably could have made that deal.
Yeah.
He's helping the Heat. I watched him last night. Like, there are guys that are playing for other teams they could have traded those picks for. Like, I'm sure Golden State probably would have wanted more picks. Well, Memphis at the time probably wanted those picks.
So that's the thing. Like, can you package 14 and 26 and 30 to move up to, like 12.
I don't know.
Where does that get you? That doesn't get you anywhere.
Gordon Hayward, 14, 36, and 24, 30, 60. I don't even know the numbers anymore.
Yeah.
36,
I mean,
24, 36, like whatever.
Look, so I my whole thing is, you know, they hit on Jaylen. They hit on Tatum, obviously. The last couple of years feel like kind of a waste. That Kings pick that we heard about for years, kind of a waste. This Memphis pick that we've heard about for literally years, kind of a waste. When they're both are 14, that's not nothing. Maybe Langford turns into something. Maybe they get somebody next year. You know, I mean, guys go in the late lottery all the time. Maybe you get your Bam Adebayo or your Donovan Mitchell in that spot. It's possible. It's not impossible. But I wouldn't feel great about that. In the meantime, what happened at the top of the lottery once the Celtics went at 14?
The third pick will be made by the Charlotte Hornets. The second pick goes to the Golden State Warriors. And that means that the number one pick in the 2020 NBA draft goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay, so I don't care about the Timberwolves getting the number one pick. Other than, good, Golden State, you did not deserve the number one pick. Golden State did not deserve the number one pick. I'm happy Golden State didn't get the number one pick. And that's even with, you know, like Steph Curry going through like midlife suburban dad crisis with whatever he's doing with his hair. I think it looks pretty good. I think the new hairdo for him looks pretty good. But that feels like a midlife crisis slash quarantine panic hairdo. Like, I don't know what that was.
The Warriors during the pandemic, it's been weird. Steve Kerr, I know he did a lot of the Jordan documentary rehash and all that, but you know, Draymond Green still getting fined that he's not even playing. Like, it's just weird to me. But if we're talking about the Warriors here, like, they want to trade that pick. They want to get a player. Like, I'm just curious, like, Weissman, if he's available, like, that's probably the guy at two. And I think a big man is valued in this league. Like, can they get a player? Can they trade that number two pick?
Package it for like
and who's available
for an all-star?
Because that's what they want.
Gordon Hayward? No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't.
No, I mean, honestly, Danny Ainge probably wouldn't. But Golden State would never in a bazillion years do that. Yeah, sure, go.
Ben Simmons.
Oh, to Golden State?
I mean, they already have the three-point shooting.
I mean, they got plenty of space on the floor for him. That's true. Everybody else spaces the floor. He could clog up the middle.
So that's one name. If it's not working out with Philadelphia, he's coming off an injury. I mean, they already got a bunch of guys coming off injury anyways, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you ease him in and Simmons goes there. Steph Curry's the point guard. Forget it. Like, or maybe you ease him off and let him run off the picks a little bit and be a shooter more. Maybe open his game up a little bit. Hmm. But he can help defend on that team. And who knows, he could be the big man on that team if they needed it at times.
No, Philly was playing him a power forward. So no, I'm just happy Golden State didn't get a pick or didn't get the pick, right? I'm happy about that. In the you know who could fall? And if Golden State makes a trade, then this blows it all up. But LaMelo could fall, you know?
Oh, by the way.
D'Angelo Russell's on Minnesota. Like, the Golden State has Steph Curry. Like, LaMelo could fall. He's supposed to. I thought he was going to go number one. He might fall a little bit.
You know
bit.
Why he's going to? Edwards is going first.
You think Edwards is going first?
Oh, yeah, Edwards is going first. Okay. Especially to,
I know you got all the inside info over there. Right,
he's going first.
Excuse me.
But I would love for Michael Jordan to pass on LaMelo. It would just be great because of everything his dad has ever said about Michael Jordan. Like, we're not taking your son.
Wouldn't it be better if they had to coexist? Wouldn't that be better?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
wouldn't that be so much better if LeVar was like lecturing Michael Jordan on like what to do with the organization? That'd be way better.
Didn't he claim he could beat Jordan one?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah, that sounds about right. Even if he didn't, he probably believes.
No, they're
it.
Not coexisting. I know what you're saying. It's just not going
to
happen.
No, right, but that'd be awesome. Right. That'd be awesome to watch.
It'd be awesome.
Right, they wouldn't coexist.
We're talking about it, it's great. Everything else, it's not going to happen. I actually kind of love that. We're not taking your son. No, they'll probably take some other stiff.
Is he the youngest one?
Yes.
Because the second one, the middle one sucks.
Yeah,
right?
LiAngelo.
Yeah, I can't keep him straight.
Yeah, he stinks, except for shoplifting. He's pretty bad at everything else.
Over any ball.
He was bad at shoplifting, too.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, he was not much of a shoplifter. That's actually a good point. 617-779-0985. Celtics get pick 14. What can they do with it? Probably nothing. Meanwhile, I'm sure you weren't watching the Red Sox last night. I told you it was Big Brother night at my house. So I'll catch you up on what happened in that Red Sox game after the headlines from Mike Lockhart.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swinging a high fly ball down the line. Driven.
Get out of here.
Valleca back to the wall, leaping up, can't get it, it's gone. Xander Bogaerts strikes number 5, put the Red Sox in front 3-0.
What an easy swing that was. You know, it's just a very easy, lazy fly ball that leaves the ballpark.
Yeah, see how easy it is, Red Sox? They went 7-1 last night over the Baltimore Orioles to improve to 8-18. And I got bad news. I got bad news. If you're rooting for the Red Sox to be the worst team in the American League, maybe the worst team in baseball, well, they're moving up the standings a little bit. It's Adam Jones, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart, in on Toucher and Rich. We got you till 10 o'clock here on a Friday morning. Red Sox now 8-18, which means Seattle's the worst team in the American League. Oh, no! No! Come on! I thought the Red Sox were going to be in the mix for that number 2 pick. I thought they were going to be the worst team in the American League. Come on, they need to get back on their pace after winning back-to-back games here. Seattle at 8-19, now the worst team in the American
League. So if we didn't watch, did it count?
They definitely count. I count the wins less than the losses, but yeah, they count. Mm. I barely watched all year, so that's really
like
I didn't really watch all that much during the 9-game losing streak. I'm not going to watch during a 2-game winning streak.
I know Lockhart's dad is a huge Red Sox.
Is that true?
Gigantic Red Sox fan.
Still,
did he watch last night?
I don't know about last night, but I talked to him this weekend, and this is huge. He isn't really watching this year.
Wow.
And this is a guy who will sit there in March and watch replays of like Pittsburgh play the Reds in spring training.
Wow.
So he's not watching right now. He's so upset with the product.
Huh.
Yeah. And that doesn't happen.
Now, what? I'm sorry. It was upset with the product or like going back?
What they're putting out there on the field.
And,
yeah.
But like going back to like, he's not on like a boycott because of like trading Mookie Betts. He was like giving him a chance and then he watched them and he's like, they're not worth my time.
He's just like, I can't watch this. It's awful. Every reliever they bring in gets crushed. They're not hitting. He can't watch it.
Yeah, it's it's bad. It's definitely not good. Evaldi pitched pretty well last night, by the way. Yeah. He allowed one run in seven innings. He's got that ERA under 5. That's nice. 4.98 now on the year.
I mean, he almost threw 100 pitches.
That's
I don't think he's done that.
Yeah,
yet,
hit him right up. 97.
He's almost there.
Woo. Things are heading the right way.
Ryan Brazier?
Yeah.
Scoreless?
I wouldn't trust him, but yeah.
I mean, Wilson Phillips Valdez, 2 strikeouts.
Oh, yeah. He closed it out last night.
Pretty good. There you go. So they win at 7-1. Red Sox get a couple of home runs. Mitch Moreland, Xander Bogaerts, numbers 7 and 5 on the year. Alex Verdugo, any idea what Alex Verdugo's hit streak is up to, Joe? I read this morning, and I said, wow, I did not know that.
I don't know, but is anything happening in baseball that I should know of?
He's got an 11-game hit streak.
11? Yep. Whoa.
I think the dude on Baltimore is a 15-gamer. That's
Santander?
Yeah. I think he's got...
He's killing it.
15-game hitting streak. Yeah. Wow. Look out, DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Move over.
I mean, Jackie Bradley's streak, I don't know. I mean, this one could be...
I think Jackie Bradley legitimately has like a 3 or 4 game hitting streak. I don't check much, but I do. I typically check his game log. I keep very close tabs on him. Yeah.
Charlie Blackman's hitting like 470.
I saw that. I saw he was hitting 500 the other week, and I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah.
In a 2-month baseball season, 400 won't count, right?
It can't, but it's still impressive.
But what if you hit 5? I think 500 is the new 400. In a 2-month season, if you hit 500, I'll give you that.
Well,
400 won't count.
My biggest bet of the year is someone hitting 20 home runs. So the bet is 19.5.
No, that's going to happen, right? What does Tatis have? 12?
Wow. Yeah. All right. Then boom. That's my biggest bet of the year.
Yeah, Tatis has 12. Trout and Luke Voit.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Both have 10.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got like
what's Betts have? Because I know he's.
I think he's at 9.
He started off a little slow.
I think he hit 9 the other day. He only hits 3 at a time. He takes a week off and then he hits 3 at a time.
So in our age, we've all played like season games and video games, like simulate games, right? Like I used to simulate games and look at the box score. So like that's
like in like a video game.
Yeah.
Mean? Yeah.
So like that's kind of what I'm doing today with the Red Sox, because again, I didn't watch.
Like, but what happened in this randomized?
But to see Rafael Devers with 2 hits, maybe he's getting hot.
Yeah.
You know,
starting to hit.
This guy JD Martinez, he makes a lot of money on the salary cap. He didn't do well.
He's back in the lineup, though.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It's
he's had 2 days of dehydration for the DH on a 77-degree day the other day. He needed a game and a half off, but he's back. That's showing some heart. Don't tell me he doesn't care. He was out there yesterday.
There's a guy named Xander Bogaerts. He had 3 hits, 2 RBI, and scored 2 runs. That's pretty good.
So Bogaerts is interesting. We talked about this briefly yesterday, and Rosenthal put out there at The Athletic that the Red Sox basically – if they want to trade Xander Bogaerts, now would be the time, meaning by the trade deadline, because he will have essentially a glorified no trade. He'll have some say in where he can be dealt to, and I forget the restrictions on the deal, but it would make Xander Bogaerts more difficult to trade. He also has an opt-out in a couple of years, so Rosenthal basically said they would owe it to themselves to see what they could get for Xander Bogaerts. And where did you come down on that, Joe? You said you should look at everything, or you would be pissed if they traded him.
No, I would not trade Xander Bogaerts.
Why?
What
if you got like two? What if you got some good pitching prospects?
If I get like Gratterall and a starter?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not telling you I know who the prospects are. What if the Tigers come to you? The Tigers just called up 2 top 50 kids. What if the Tigers come to you and they say, we'll give you a couple of top 50 arms for Xander Bogaerts?
No,
you wouldn't listen?
No, I'd rather have the guy that's proven, that's Listen, the one thing with Bogaerts,
Xander Bogaerts,
the guy won you two championships. I'm not moving on from the guy.
Well, he didn't win you two championships. He was on two World Series teams. He didn't win you anything. Right, really,
he didn't help you win.
He's like
two
the fifth best player on the last one, and on the first one he started, and on the last one he was like, you know, the fifth best player on the team. Like, yeah, that's not nothing.
Pretty good at it.
Well, he didn't win it for you. Is all I'm saying. He didn't lead carry the team. That's all I'm saying.
He's got a really good.
He was worse than Bradley that year.
I hate to use the Jay Crowder analogy. He's got a great contract.
Does he?
One of the better contracts in baseball.
Let me tell you, how many 30 home run seasons do you think he's had?
One.
One is correct. How many times do you think he's hit 300? I know that's like antiquated. Why would you want anybody to hit 300 these days? I know that's like an antiquated, outdated thing. 200-300 seasons.
Okay,
there we go. Damn you, Joe.
He's getting in the prime of his career is what I'm telling you.
How many times do you think how many times do you think he scored 100 runs?
Twice
is awesome. Are we looking at the same page?
I have nothing. But this is the prime of his career. This is now is the time.
200 RBI seasons too. I would listen to him. He's not untradeable. But Mookie Betts, and I know Mookie Betts was a free agent at year's end. Although you could have, you know, and this is a crazy concept. You could have signed him like the Dodgers did. But I know he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's an actual elite player. Like, he's the actual kind of guy you look at and you go, huh. Like, I would have traded Bogaerts to free up money to keep Betts. Like, that's what they should have done. If you're going to look at trading Xander Bogaerts, you should have done it way back when and kept Betts. He's the better player by far. And, oh, by the way, I was reading Tomasi, and Tomasi kind of got me thinking a little bit over at NBC Sports Boston about whether or not Bogaerts is a little pouty about...
He's been sad.
The contract that... Well, he's been down. Is he down because they're losing? Or is he a little pouty because of the deal that Betts got?
Well, at the time, I remember they were saying... Is he a Boris guy? I forget what it was, but
I believe he is.
The deal that he signed at the time was very low. And I think he kept saying that this is where he wants to be. And that's why he signed the deal at the time.
Yeah, but what about when your contemporary turns around and signs for $300 million?
I know, but like the team really sucks, so maybe he's looking at it as this team sucks. I'm making no money now. Like, if the team was winning.
No, right. I agree with that.
If like, the team was winning.
Well, I think I think there's a combination there. I think the team blows, and he looks at Mookie Betts and he says, Mookie Betts got what? Like, I mean, Betts is better than me. He has to know Betts is better than him, but I think he looks at it and goes, wait a minute, he got what?
Yeah.
Like, I want to opt out in a couple of years. Like, I wonder if he's gotten a little bit mopey. And I know he homered last night, which isn't great timing for my take, but I wonder if he's gotten a little mopey there. So anyway, there you go. That's
$20 million a year. He's the highest paid shortstop by salary.
In baseball?
I'm looking at it here.
Yeah. Is he the best shortstop?
No, he's like fifth.
He's like fourth or fifth.
Lindor.
So, like, you know, they're better. Correa's better than him when he's healthy. Like, there are better shortstops than him. So, no, he's not the best shortstop in baseball. He's the highest paid shortstop in baseball.
$20 million a year, dude.
How good of a contract is that?
$20 million. Well, actually, now that I think about it, $20 million for a shortstop.
If he's not the best shortstop, but he's the highest paid shortstop, how is that like any bargain?
Well, shortstop used to be the highest paid for a while, besides like starters, and then they kind of had that.
All I'm saying is like he shouldn't be this untradeable piece. I'm actually with Chaim Bloom on that, and I'm with the Red Sox on doing their due diligence there, and I don't want to take Chaim Bloom's side on anything. I think he's been terrible, but he's not like an untradeable. You can't move him kind of piece. He's not that. He's not that kind of player.
But can he bring you the pitching that you need?
I don't know. If he can, I'd listen. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, let's get to the quarterback reps. They got interesting yesterday at Patriots training camp between Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham, who, oh, by the way, maybe he's not 100%. Let's get to all that next.
Toucher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. Oh, this guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All you can ever ask for in the NFL is a chance to compete. And I think that's something that I've had throughout my career in different places. So it's not something that, you know, I'm not used to. And I think if anything, you know, I think Coach Belichick and the coaches, they always say, you know, competition makes everyone better. So I think that's what my goal is to go out there every day, compete the best I can, push everybody else to compete as hard as they can. And then, you know, when the dust settles, it settles and what it is, it is.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, Brian Hoyer. I think the dust has already settled on your opportunity to be the starting quarterback. I think that dust settled, I don't know, a long time ago in other cities, you know, where you've had opportunities to start and been terrible. Houston, Cleveland, Indianapolis last season. Dust settled a long time ago. But I like, Joe, that he's opening up to the idea that he can push other people. Like, that's your role, Brian Hoyer. Your role is to push the other guys. Your role is not, you're not going to start. We all know you know the system. We all know you can't execute it. So your job is to push other people. Good. Wrap your head around that.
He did that for Jacoby Brissett, right?
Sure.
Where else did he play?
Again, he's started many places and been mediocre in all of them. Yeah, 49ers is a good one. Houston. Where else? He was in Pittsburgh for a little while. I don't think he started there. Indianapolis, he started last year. Cleveland.
Does he still have the worst?
Chicago, I think Mike said, yeah.
Oh, Chicago. Does he still have the worst playoff appearance ever? Because his, I mean, it was up there.
I don't know if it's the worst. It's pretty bad. The four picks?
That was not good.
No, not great. So that's Brian Hoyer weighing in on the quarterbacks and how things were split up. And, yesterday there were a few interesting stories, a few interesting items written about the Patriots and how they split things up. I was reading Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston. I know a lot of people on the beat wrote something similar and passed along something similar. He said when practice was finished, it was apparent the quarterback snaps were no longer evenly split between Newton, Stidham, and Hoyer, as they really had been for the first X amount of days of training camp. Pretty much every day, it's like, hey, one drill, Stidham goes first through the line. Next drill, Newton goes first through the line. Or, you know, whatever. When it's 7-on-7s, Newton starts one, then Stidham, 11-on-11s, vice versa. But the snaps, even with Hoyer, have been split evenly between all three. Perry says they weren't split as evenly as they had been, essentially through the first 3 days, and they weren't split evenly between Newton and Stidham. Newton clearly saw the biggest slice of the quarterback snap pie. He went 7-for-13 in 25 competitive 11-on-11 snaps. Stidham went 2-for-6 with two interceptions and 17 competitive 11-on-11 snaps. Okay? So he got 17 snaps compared to 25, and he threw six passes compared to 13. So he's getting half the reps of Cam Newton all of a sudden.
So he completed two.
Yep.
Threw two to the other team.
Well, he completed four.
He threw two to the other team.
Yeah, two to his team.
His defense.
And two to the defense,
and then
yeah.
Did not complete the other two. That's not good.
No. And on Thursday, he had the 17 competitive throws, and 29 snaps. For Newton, that's nearly three times the number of competitive throws that Stidham made, and a dozen more competitive snaps. Perry says that's not insignificant. So look, we can get to this quarterback rotation idea that was floated earlier in the week in a little bit. Well, we're going to talk to Albert Breer of the MMQB. He's going to join us at the top of the hour so we can get his thoughts on the quarterback race in general, the quarterback rotation, if they could kind of rotate within a game like some college offense with Stidham and Cam Newton. I have advocated for a long time, I think this whole charade, and I believe it's a charade, is a waste. I think it's a waste to balance it even. Like, Brian Hoyer should literally be getting no snaps. None. And I'm not saying that for effect. We know what he can do. We know what Brian Hoyer is. I wouldn't give him any snaps. I would split snaps at most, 60-40 in favor of Newton. And really, I think Cam Newton should get more snaps. There's no preseason. Shortened offseason. Like, he needs every rep he can get. He needs every single rep he can get.
Yeah.
And for 3 days, the Patriots put the charade on. But I think yesterday they're starting to say, all right, the train's leaving the station, and it's time to get Cam up to speed. I think that's some of what we were seeing yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think the Patriots do too. And yesterday, I guess, Hoyer and Lewerke were on one field, and Stidham and Newton were on the other.
Oh, they were on a whole other field.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Right?
They were working with a different squad. The squad that's not going to make the roster, they were working with.
That's interesting over there.
Hoyer's competing with Lewerke, not the other two. That actually, right. That's about right.
That makes sense.
That's where the comment comes in, maybe. You know, he's competing. He's competing with Lewerke.
Right.
On one side of the field.
Yeah, you're competing with the quarterback that nobody wanted in the draft. It was terrible at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Who they already cut and then brought back. That's who you're competing with. And the only reason they brought him back is because eight guys opted out. Okay, fine. That's who you're competing with. That sounds about right. Brian Hoyer. Now, Joe. There are reports out there that Stidham is hurt?
I saw out there that the guys uptown are saying that Stidham may have an injury. And I always get like things, like people send me, you know, Tugar Rask golf times and stuff like that. And I got a little something, not a credible source by any means, but
a little scuttlebutt out there.
A little scuttlebutt saying Stidham, it could be a lower body injury.
Lower half.
Yes.
He's unfit to practice. Unfit to participate? Well, I don't want to say he's unfit to participate. I don't know if he'll be out there or not. I guess we'll see in due time. And again, we can get to more of this with Bert. Maybe Bert's hearing some things out
there.
That's
allegedly, rumblings. By the way.
Well, whatever. It's not our report, so fine. So Stidham's hurt.
I didn't say it.
I'm just saying. So like, it's out there that Stidham's hurt. Let's find out if he's hurt. Do you think that's why the Patriots managed the snaps yesterday? Or do you think, I don't know, part of what's hurt is a bit of a bruised ego on Jarrett Stidham. Oh,
that too.
Like, is Jarrett Stidham?
All right,
I'm losing snaps. You know what? My lower half is bothering me a little bit. I need to take a couple of days.
Good call there. I like that. Could it be coming from Stidham? You know, I got to take it a little easy there, you know?
You know what? My lower half is barking at me a little bit, or whatever. My arm's a little, I don't know what's hurt. I don't know if he even is hurt. But, you know what? Oof, boy, I'm feeling a little fatigued today. You know what? I'm going to take a few days. Since Cam's your guy now, I know all offseason I was your guy. Then you brought in Cam late. Now you're giving Cam all the snaps. You know what? I think I'm going to take a couple of days.
And it's funny you say that, because there's only so much credentialed media that can go down there now. And I've been
unless you're so, then you can just waltz in whenever.
Okay.
Apparently,
I've been reading reports that, you know, they're trying to compare Stidham's and his opportunity to Brady when Bledsoe was here, and Brady continuously went there every day and worked hard and wanted to be the quarterback. Some people think that maybe Stidham isn't taking that approach right now. Maybe he's just one of the guys working hard every day, trying to do the right thing, but isn't really I shouldn't use the word motivated. It just doesn't look like he's the guy who wants or trying to take the position.
Yeah, maybe a little too deferential to the MVP, Cam Newton. I would understand that. Maybe the Patriots are trying to manage a little something, too. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Maybe this is their way of sneaking Hoyer onto the roster. If Stidham needs to miss a little bit of time, they can get creative. Or maybe it's simple. You know, Occam's razor, it hits you right in the face. The simplest answer is the most obvious one. Maybe he's just hurt. I don't know. But that, to me, is interesting. Oh, so he lost snaps yesterday in practice, and now he's hurt. It's not like he didn't throw yesterday, right? He was throwing. He was competing in all the drills yesterday. It's not like he didn't throw. It's not like he was pulled off the field. That's why his reps were down. No. He lost snaps, and now he's hurt. Reportedly.
Yes.
Interesting.
Reportedly. Lower.
That would be pretty dumb of him to do that.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it would be smart either, but I don't know. How do we think he's handling the addition of Cam? He pretty much went AWOL when they brought in Cam last time.
Him and his wife, they signed Cam, and it's like, where'd he go? Oh, it was in Texas. That, you know, that story came out. It's just, it's a good point. I like all this. I do think, though, whatever's happening with Stidham, Cam does deserve most of the
rest. Of course. Cam Newton should be the quarterback. That to me is a no-brainer. And like, this idea they're going to rotate quarterbacks, please. Like, please. We can get to that and more with Burt Breer. We'll see what he's hearing on the Jarrett Stidham front. Is it an injury? Is it a bruised ego? 617-779-0985. Again, Burt Breer right after the headlines here from Mike Lockhart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.